The Gospel of Matthew, the chapter 24, I want to draw your attention to the closing words we read together. Matthew 24, read there, verse 27. The Lord said, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together." In the opening words of this chapter, we find the Lord leaving the magnificent courts of the temple, passing through its towering porches for the very last time. His disciples began to linger. They, admiring its beauty, the Lord told them the day was coming when not one stone would be left upon the other. He passing out into the darkness and the stillness of the night, he crossing over the brook Kidron, he began to journey towards the ancient village of Bethany, climbing the rough and rugged slopes of Mount Olives. He reaching its summit, he suddenly stopped, resting beneath the boughs of its stately cedars. He then turned his back upon the gilded roofs of the temple, looking eastward over the desolate and barren hills of the wilderness of Judea. He saw in the distance the hills of Moab, they gleaming like a chain of jewels in the light of the sunset. He told them that from this same direction he would one day come again. And coming, he would come even as the eagle, or as the word also here indicates, a vulture. Of course, the vulture feasts upon the rotting and corrupting carcass. And as such, he was indicating here that society becoming corrupt, that he would come again. And like the eagle or like the vulture, he would rend or he would tear it apart. You see, he that rose from the grave is coming again in glory. However, he is coming not to deliver, but he is coming to devour his enemies. Indeed, Paul, taking up his pen, writing to the Thessalonians, he said in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel." And as if to put it beyond all doubt, he tells us in the previous verse that the Lord had revealed this truth to him. You see, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is not merely a matter of conjecture, but it is a matter of certainty. He is coming again. In fact, for every Bible prophecy concerning his first coming as a babe in the manger, there are 8 prophecies concerning his second coming, his coming to judge the world. You know, a man one night was preaching on the second coming of the Savior. Mild someone in the audience going a little annoyed, they stood to their feet and they said, "I can't get it out of the New Testament." My, the preacher said, "Of course you can. It's there to stay." You see, you can't get rid of the second coming. Not only has the Lord Jesus Christ come as a deliverer, come to die upon the cross, but he is coming again. He is coming to judge this world. He is coming to sentence you either to eternal life or to eternal death. And I wonder tonight, what thought, what preparation have you made for that day when Christ will come again? What preparation have you made for that day when you will stand before him and give answer concerning your soul? And so I want this evening to draw your attention to these words of the Lord Jesus. I want you to notice firstly the picture he employed in setting forth the Savior's return. The Holy Spirit and the Savior employs many different pictures. As well as likening his coming to the coming of a thief, he now describes it as lightning, which lightens the darkened sky. And from this picture, we notice here that his coming, it will be sudden. "My breaking through the clouds," the Lord said, verse 27, "for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." As the lightning is majestic, so it is startling. It's sweeping across the darkened sky. It is followed by the deafening roar of the thunder. However, while its bright streaks warn of the coming of the thunder, nothing warns of its coming. It suddenly leaps from the bosom of a darkened cloud, and sweeping across the heavens, it completes its journey in a moment of time. It comes suddenly, without warning, taking the world by surprise. You see, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is the coming of lightning. It will be swift and sudden. It will come in that hour, even when men think not. Indeed, while the five foolish virgins waited and longed for the coming of the bridegroom, yet we read in Matthew 25, verse 10, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with them to the marriage, and the door was shut." Why did they go to buy oil at this particular moment? It was because they were convinced in their minds that the bridegroom would not come at this moment. And yet it was at the very moment that they were convinced in their hearts that the bridegroom would not come, that he came. You see, the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ will be as that of a thief. It will take the world by surprise. You know, several years ago, a pastor named Earl Kelly from Mississippi was preaching on the second coming of the Lord. In fact, he was preaching from this very text. He was talking about the Lord coming even as the lightning. And as he was preaching in great power, suddenly one of the lights just above the pulpit broke loose, and it fell right in front of the pulpit, shattering into many pieces, making a large noise. And without missing a beat, he said his coming will just be as sudden and unexpected and devastating as that. Do you think tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ could not come? Then remember the Savior's words in Luke chapter 12 when he said, "The Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." And the very fact that you think that it's not possible makes it even tonight a possibility. The hymn writer said, "I know not in what watch he comes, or at what hour he may appear, whether at midnight or at morn, or in what season of the year, I only know that he is near." Why should you make ready tonight to meet the Lord? Because, my friend, you don't know. You don't know that moment when he may come. He will come as the lightning, which suddenly, without warning, streaks across the landscape, driving terror and fear into many hearts. And I wonder tonight, if he was to come, are you ready? Oh, my friend, make ready, lest you leave it too late. His coming will not only be sudden, but it will be seen, appearing in that moment in all his glory. The Lord said in verse 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." The lightning leaping from the bosom of the darkened cloud, it lights up the entire skyline. And as such, men do not have to run and hear then there to see its terrifying streaks. It naturally draws every eye upward. And as if to emphasize the thought of visibility, he also describes his coming here as to the circling of the vultures, which could be seen for many miles. You see, there's nothing secret about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It will be visible, seen in all parts, in one moment. Indeed, the Apostle John, taking up the subject, he said in Revelation 1, verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth, shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Lest any would seek to narrow the word every to include only the elect, or to include only the saved of God, he here seeking to qualify the term, he goes on to mention those who pierced Christ, and also all kindreds and nations. In other words, he was saying here that the Lord Jesus coming, that every eye, the eye of the believer, the eye of the unbeliever, they would see him. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be magnificent. And being magnificent, it will be manifest. Every eye shall see him. Charles Haddon Spurgeon tells of a man who was born blind. Despite his disability, he loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all of his heart. Spurgeon said, he used to say, the first person I shall ever see will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that day, even the blind shall see him. At his first coming, over 2,000 years ago, the Lord was born in an obscure village in an obscure part of the Roman Empire. Almost no one had heard of him or heard of his birth until the disciples began to proclaim it. However, it matters not who you are or where you are, the Lord Jesus Christ coming again. My friend, you will see him. Here's an event you're not going to miss out on. He is coming again. And even if you're not saved, my friend, you will see him, and you will be forced to look upon him, to gaze into the face of him whom you have rejected. Look into the face of him who you have despised and who you have trampled beneath your feet. He is coming. Suddenly. And you'll see him. You'll have to look into his face. My, it will not only be seen, but his coming will be spectacular. Breaking through the clouds, we read in verse 27, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The lightning sweeping across the darkened sky, it turns midnight for a moment into midday. It penetrates even the captive cell and irradiates the deepest dungeon with a brightness brighter than the midday sun. It reveals all that stands before it. And the lightning flashing across the landscape, suddenly the mountains that were hidden, they become visible. And you see, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, coming as the lightning, will not only be radiant, but revealing. It will even illuminate the darkened pages of men's minds. Indeed, Paul describing it, he said in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time, unto the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. He was not here referring so much to things done in the secret places of idolatry as to the secret things of the heart. And he said to the Lord Jesus Christ coming that those things would be made manifest. The coming of Christ, coming as the lightning, he will expose the unseen things, and he will reveal the unsavory things. I remember many years ago coming back from holiday from the continent. It was probably about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and opened the little blind in the plane and looked out. It was dark as midnight. You couldn't see anything. And then all of a sudden the plane began to rise and the plane began to fall. And then suddenly the lightning streaked across the sky. I never saw anything like it. In that moment, the whole of the heavens opened up. And you could see for miles, and looking down, I could see the mountains, I could see the valleys, I could see the houses there. And so it will be in that day, Christ coming as the lightning. The darkness will be driven back, and the hearts and lives of men will be exposed. Coming said, each man's soul shall be legible to the universe as the tree and rock are legible in the lightning. And you may have forgotten those sins, or you may have even hidden those things. You could have taken them and buried them in your mind and purposely driven them out. But in that day when Christ comes, every sin will be revealed. You see, my friend, there's nothing secret about secret sin, because it will be revealed. And I wonder tonight, are you ready? The Lord is coming. What a day that will be. My, He'll come as the lightning. He will be seen. My hearts will be laid bare before Him. And I wonder tonight, are you ready? Are you ready to meet Him? Not only do I think, do we notice here the picture He employed, but we notice the purpose He explained. He rending the heavens in twain, He will then summon the nations before Him. They bowing down, notice here, He will devour the sinner. In coming, the Lord said, verse 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man will be." He will come from the east. And in scriptures, the east is often connected with judgment. For example, in Genesis chapter 3, we are told that the cherubims armed with flaming swords, they stood at the east of the garden. Again, the wind that blasted the seven ears of corn in Joseph's dream came from the east. In Exodus chapter 10, it was the east wind that brought the locusts across the land of Egypt, devouring all that stood before it. And as such, in coming from the east, the Lord here was reminding them that He was coming as a devouring wind to destroy those who had forgotten Him and who had neglected Him. You see, in His second coming, Christ is coming not as a lamb, but He is coming as a lion. He's coming to conquer and to crush His enemies. Indeed, explaining it, Jude, taking up his pen, he said in Jude 14 and 15, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints." Why? "To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." And coming, he said that Christ would not only convince them of their sin, leaving them speechless in that day, but He would execute judgment upon them. Christ is not coming again to deliver the wicked. Christ is coming again to destroy the wicked. He's coming to crush them beneath His feet. Julia Howe wrote, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He hath loosed the fatal lightning of His terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on." And you see, the Lord Jesus is coming. He has come. He has come as a Savior. He has come to save you from your sin. But in that day, He is coming as a judge. He's coming to execute His wrath upon those who have hardened their hearts and who have turned away from Him. And if you're not saved in that day, you will feel the sharpness of a sword. You will feel His wrath upon you. He's coming. He's coming, my friend, to judge, to pour out His wrath. Are you ready? He will not only devour the sinner, but he will discover the sinner. Because look at verse 28. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. He described his coming here as the coming of an eagle or the coming of a vulture. Of course, the vision of the vulture is keen. Travelers in the deserts of Arabia tell us that though the carcass is but a little speck in the desert, yet the vulture is able to see it. And as the carcass is unable to escape its eye, he was warning them here that he's coming again, that they would not escape his gaze. He's coming like the eagle. He's coming like the vulture. He would find them. And there's no escaping of the wrath of a holy God. In that day, not only will you see him, but you'll stand before him. Indeed, in the last book of the Bible, we read those solemn words in Revelation 6 and verse 16. The kings of the earth crying out, they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And the implication here is that though they cried for the mountains to hide them, they could not hide them. Man-made refuges are no refuges. They cannot hide the soul from the gaze and the wrath of a holy God. Eli was God's priest, but Eli could not hide his wicked sons, Hophni and Phinehas, from the wrath of a holy God. And my friend, you cannot hide yourself. You cannot escape. In that day, he will see you. He will see you in your sin. You will be summoned before his throne, there to be sentenced, if outside of him, to judgment. Your sins will be revealed, and your judgment will be according. He also will defeat the sinner. Look at verse 28. For whosoever or wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. The eagle, because of its power, was emblazoned on the banners of the armies of Rome, which in that day seemed invincible. And in coming as an eagle, he was indicating here that none could resist him, as none could resist the armies of Rome. None could resist him in that day coming again. And the wrath of God is invincible. It cannot be stopped. It cannot be hindered. How men laugh at God, and they laugh at the idea of judgment. They imagine they're wiser. They imagine they're smarter than God and that they can escape him. My friend, in that day, you'll stand before him. And I wonder if that day was now, how would it be? How would it be with your soul? The picture he employed, the purpose he explained. But lastly, I want you to notice the peril he envisaged. He's speaking of his second coming. He urged them here to be alert. Why? Because he said there would arise in that day those who would seek to deceive them. Notice here the resources of these deceivers. Describing the false teacher, he said, verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This was no new news. He told them in chapter 7, 15, 16, chapter 23, to watch out for the deceiver. They coming forth, he warned them that they would perform great supernatural feats, healing the sick and making the blind to see. Their works would be of such a nature that they would astonish the people. However, while they would do these things in his name, yet the Lord said, they're not my disciples, they are deceivers. You see, while miracles may astound men, they do not authenticate the messenger. They do not indicate that an individual is from God. Some, and because a person is able to perform a seeming miracle, they imagine no matter what they say or how they live, that they must be God's messenger. But cast your mind back. Cast it back into the opening chapters of the book of Exodus. You find Moses coming in before the mighty Pharaoh. You find him taking the stick or the rod and casting it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Then the magicians came in, and they took their rods and they threw them in the ground, and they also became serpents. You see, a miracle doesn't mean that a man is the servant of God. A man can claim, "I raise the dead," but that doesn't make him the servant of God. The devil has power. The devil has power. And we live in a day of great wickedness. We live in a day of great confusion. People follow miracles. My, they want to be where that excitement is. But don't be deceived. Not only the resources, but notice the remedy against the deceivers. He said, verse 25, "Behold, I have told you before." And if they were not to be deceived by the works and the words of these deceivers, he said, "Remember, listen to the words that I have spoken." You see, the Word of God is the only infallible rule of faith and practice. And by it, everything must be tested. You say, "Preacher, we live in a day of confusion." True. You say one thing, someone else says another. How can I know? How can I know that you are right? Or how can I know that that other person is wrong? How do I know that I need to be saved? How do I know that my works will not get me to heaven? My friend, by the Word of God. Test everything by the Scriptures. Test everything by this book. And if this preacher says anything that's contrary to the book, then show me, and I'd gladly cast it away. But lastly, notice there was a restriction upon these deceivers. Look at verse 24. He said, "If it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." How often this verse is misquoted. Notice here he doesn't say that the elect would be deceived. But he said, "if it were possible." And by those words, he was indicating that God's people, despite all the delusions, they would not be deceived. They would not be led away. Those that are in Christ are secure. They cannot be completely deceived. They cannot be destroyed. In Christ, we are safe. You see, he's coming. He's coming again. And I wonder, child of God, do you think about that? My, do you think every day, my, what if he was to come today? Are you ready to greet him? My, do you cry even in your heart? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. Do you long for his coming? Do you long for his coming? And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, can I remind you that unless you embrace the crucified Christ, then on that day you will be crushed, crushed by the conquering Christ. You need to be ready. You need to trust him. He came to save you. He's coming to judge the world. And unless you trust him, unless you believe, then in that day your soul will be lost. Oh, come to him. Trust him tonight, even as your Savior. Let's just bow together.